Division 7, Love's Last Conquest, Song of Solomon, Chapter 7. The Beloved's Panegyric. Chapter 7 falls into two parts. It relates happenings immediately before and after the wedding. The first 9 verses are the first part, a tender melody of climaxing panegyric from the bridegroom to the bride. The first 7 verses are sung before the marriage, and the next 2 verses are sung afterwards. Then the last 4 verses give the bride's warm response. The primary portion of the king's song contains a tenfold graphic picture of the beauty and majestic grandeur of his friend. It begins with the feet and culminates with her magnificent stature. How beautiful are thy feet with shoes, O prince's daughter! The joints of thy thighs are like jewels, the work of the hands of a cunning workman. Song of Solomon 7, verse 1. The Hebrew word for prince is nadib and means noble, willing, princely. It is the latter part of the significant word aminodib, which means my willing or princely people. The Shulamite's father was probably a prince in Israel or in the princely line. At least, there is this lesson here. To be willing to yield to the king was considered noble and princely. This title being given to her is further evidence that she is the Aminadib, princely people of Song of Solomon 6, verse 12. Two fundamental facts are named in verse 1. The Shulamite's feet in sandals, revised version, are regarded as beautiful. That is unusual, for the feet are among the uncomely members of the body. That is why women try to squeeze them into small shoes. But this woman's feet are fair to behold in homely sandals. The joints of the thighs are like jewels. Consider the delicately fitting jewels in a watch, and you will understand the perfect union of hip and thigh. God himself is the cunning workman. That is the way he built a woman for Adam. Genesis 2, verse 22. These two members, the thighs and feet, speak of the firm, stately, and beautiful carriage of the Shulamite. With ever-increasing wonder and delight, this holy drama proceeds. Here we are reminded of the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and of the whole body fitly joined together, Ephesians 4:16 and Ephesians 6:15. In a deeper sense, this must refer to the assembly glorious, not having spot or wrinkle, Ephesians 5:27, revised version. The Holy Spirit, the cunning workman of today, works in yielded saints and beautifies their every step. The walk of the natural man is horrible to the Lord, but how beautiful are the feet of him that publisheth peace, Isaiah 52, verse 7. Who does that like bridal believers? The thigh is a strong member of the body. It speaks of the loins girt about with truth. When we eat the word of God, we become strong in the Lord, strong to stand and endure hardships and bear burdens. Samson smote the Philistines hip and thigh, that is, he broke their strong places. Therefore, the joints of the thigh, being jewel-like, teach the perfect, firm, easy, calm, steady, practical walk in the light. Coupled with the feet, the walk is beautiful. In Moses' day, Bezalel was chosen and anointed of God to devise cunning works in gold, silver, and brass. He was filled with the Spirit in all manner of workmanship for erecting the tabernacle in the wilderness. He represents the Holy Spirit. Bezalel means God's shade or protection. As seen in the pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night, the Holy Spirit was the shade and protection of Jehovah over Israel. Today, he is the never-failing shade over God's people from the heat of trial and their protection from all their foes. He is indeed the cunning workman. He sets the members in the body of Christ as it pleaseth him. 1 Corinthians 12. He also makes the word of God effectual in them that believe it. A holy ob, tent of a father, was appointed to work with Bezalel. He was a cunning workman and an embroiderer in blue, purple, scarlet, and fine linen. See Exodus 31 verses 2 through 6 and Exodus 38 verse 29. Aholiab represents the Apostle Paul. It pleased the Lord to make the Apostle Paul a wise master builder. He laid the foundation of the church, which is a habitation of God, Ephesians 2:22. Thus, he is the chief agent on earth in erecting a tent for our Heavenly Father. Few people realize the important place that he has in the counsels of God. Do you know that he espoused the church to one husband that he might present a chaste virgin to Christ? 2 Corinthians 11:2. Paul said, God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Romans 2:16. And every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. Exodus 35:20. See also Exodus 36:1. The spiritual successors of Paul, beginning with Timothy, Titus, etc., have continued this cunning work in the church by proclaiming his gospel. This results in the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering, unto the edifying of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:11-16. Out of this mystical body, the church, Paul's gospel is building a bride for the heavenly bridegroom. The joints of her thighs are jewel-like, the effective results of the painstaking toil of the cunning workman, the Holy Spirit, through the agency of divinely guided workmen. We have a right to expect to walk beautifully and with stately, unblameable mien. Thy body is like a round goblet wherein no mingled wine is wanting. Song of Solomon 7:2. Wine stimulates and invigorates the body. The Shulamite had frequented Solomon's banqueting house, House of Wines. Song of Solomon 2:4. Her body showed the good effects of drinking good wine, such as was entirely free from mixture or adulteration. Her form was perfectly proportioned and most comely. This speaks to us of the indwelling and operations of the Holy Spirit. It is more than Pentecost begun. It indicates a company of saints who have drunk deeply of the fullness of the Spirit and keep on drinking. Some yield sufficiently to be filled initially with the Spirit, but bridal saints yield to the Spirit so as to go on with Christ, grow up into him in all things, and increase with the increase of God in them. They become well-rounded in experience and show aptitudes of usefulness. They keep filled with the Spirit by walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. They show that no mingled wine has any place in them. They are delivered from formalism, a dry spirit. They are not fanatical. They have no wild spirit. They are not anointed with an unguent made by man. They are anointed with the holy anointing oil, compounded according to the heavenly apothecary, Exodus 30:25. It is unmixed and unmixable, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things, 1 John 2:20-27. Thy belly is like an heap of wheat set about with lilies, Song of Solomon 7:2. The king had before found his friend all fair, undefiled, lovely in disposition and undivided in her devotion. Now he beholds her fully developed and capable of being useful, fruitful, productive. He was not going to wed a doll nor an ornament, but a woman. Oh, what an impressive picture of real, practical sainthood. When Jesus comes, he will not select babies for his bride. He does not want simply a spiritual ornament to gaze upon. The bride company will be useful and powerful as well as beautiful. They demonstrate the probability of their future place by what they are now, an heap of wheat set about with lilies. They are productive now. Collectively, they have the appearance of a stack of grain in the open field studded with shining lilies. They demonstrate spiritual motherhood, the proof of which is the lily-like younger and growing believers which worship with them. Thus, they are qualifying for their higher and fuller fruitfulness in glory. Through their union with Christ up yonder, a nation will be born at once, Isaiah 66:8. The residue of men, all Israel, will seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things, Acts 15:17. After the wedding in the air comes the great worldwide revival. We need not look for it before then. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, Song of Solomon 7, verse 3. In Song of Solomon 4, verse 5, this same delicate statement is made with these words added, which feed among the lilies. The Shulamite is not feeding among the lilies now. She is ready and waiting for the marriage ceremony. She is qualified to be a bride, fully satisfying her lover. See the spiritual interpretation previously given of Song of Solomon 4, verse 5. It is proper to add here that as in the type, so is the antitype. When the time figured here comes, the bridal saints will be in heaven, there waiting for the wedding. They will be worshiping and adoring the Lord and assisting him in putting down his enemies. He will have to judge Christendom as false to him. Laodicean Protestantism will be spewed out of his mouth, and the great harlot will be destroyed before he can take to himself in wedlock his true bride. During those days of warring and waiting, the heavenly bridegroom will be admiring his overcoming princely people and enjoying their fellowship. His heart will be overwhelmed with utter delight. He will not feel disappointed with them. They will be just what he longed for and sought to have them be. They will intoxicate or abundantly moisten him with their sacrifice of praise, Isaiah 42, verse 24, and will show their entire fitness to be his bride. Let not false modesty, the result of sin in the flesh, hinder us from understanding the will of God, either in the natural or supernatural. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Titus 1:15. This entire description is no doubt a pen picture by the Holy Spirit of Eve fully formed before sin had marred her beauty and perfection. Why is it not also a portrait of a typical bride today, filled with the Spirit and walking in the Spirit, in order to foreshadow the bride of Christ? The Holy Spirit never employs imaginary things to illustrate, typify, or symbolize truth. He uses actual facts, persons, and scenes. In Bible times, marriage was expectant with loving reproduction, but not for carnal gratification. Hence, it was the gravest reproach for a woman to be barren. All that foreshadowed the impossibility of the bride of Christ being barren. Therefore, verse 3 most beautifully typifies her healthy reproductive state after the translation and before the wedding in the air.